there with so many apsaras, he approaches Badrika Ashram, and then when trying to shoot the arrow, and as soon as he shoot the arrow of lust, and he was waiting for the reaction of Nana Rendishi, that he was one way he was happy that now I have done my job, other way he was scared also that if, you know, when the you know, that they will get distracted from their tapasya, what will happen next to me. So as soon as Narayana Rishi opens their eyes, Kamdev wanted to hide himself to protect himself from the anger of their anger, but it was completely different reaction from Narayana. He was also surprised. So this Cupid was not expecting this reaction from Narayana Rishi. He was trying to hide himself, whereas Narayana Rishi gets up and he welcomes Cupid, and when he welcomes, he says that, okay, my dear Kamdev, why you are here, and we welcome you to the place, to our place, and they give him so much respect. And seeing all these things, Kamdev got bewildered that I was expecting that when I am creating obstacles in somebody's life, they should get bewildered, but I am getting bewildered rather than him. So Kamdev understands that he is not ordinary personality, and then he bows down and says that, oh my dear Lord, I ask for forgiveness that I have committed such a big offense, and as a demigod, my job is to create obstacles in everybody's life, but here you are giving me punishment, you're giving me so much love and respect. So he was completely surprised. Then Narayana Rishi says that they showing that who they are actually, they created more beautiful apsaras from the effulgence of their body. Seeing that, again Kamdev get surprised that how it can happen. And so these apsaras were so beautiful that the apsaras who were accompanying Kamdev, they become pale in front of these apsaras. That time Kamdev felt more regret that why he is here to disturb Supreme Personality. Then Narayana Rishi says that okay, now you are here, so I want to give you a return gift as well. What return gift to you? He says that you can choose any one of the apsara from here and take her with you to Indralok. So at that time Kamdev and chooses Urvashi from that group, and they take Urvashi to Indralok. When Kamdev reaches back to Indralok, Indra became a bit ashamed because he understood his mistake, and he felt regret also that he committed mistake of not understanding the power of Supreme Authority and not recognizing Supreme Personality of Godhead. But at the same time, he was happy to see Urvashi, because Urvashi was the most beautiful apsara in Indralok that time, and she became the jewel of Indralok. So this was the since it is Lord, we have never come across any pastime of Lord where he is becoming very angry. Even after, he always reciprocates to his devotees. Now in this shloka, when we read the purport, here Srila Prabhupada is here Sukadev Goswami is saying that he is comparing the anger of Lord Shiva. Why he is comparing with Lord Shiva here? Because something similar pastime happened with Lord Shiva also. So when Lord Shiva was in deep meditation after Sati, Sati left, you know, she burned herself in the fire, and then after that, she came on the earth as in the form of Lotus Parvati, and she had very much affection towards Lord Shiva. So she was meditating for Lord Shiva, to be wife of Lord Shiva. That time, there was a demon appeared. His name was Tarkasura. So Tarkasura was troubling, as always the demons are troubling to the demigods. He was also doing the same thing. That time, all the demigods approached Brahmaji and asked them that give us some solution and how we can get rid of this demon. So they got to know the solution that only Lord Shiva's son can kill this demon. So they thought that now, that time Lord Shiva was not married, so they said that how we can do that, I mean how it is possible he is not married and he is Brahmacha, you know, not Brahmacha, he's not Brahmacha, but he was that time not married, and they couldn't bear the pain of that troubles of the demon that time. So they thought, we want some solution. So again, they requested Kamadeva to go and distract Lord Shiva from his tapasya. Everybody knows the anger of Lord Shiva, but still Kamadeva agreed. He goes to the place where Lord Shiva is meditating on the Hima and the mountains, and Kamadeva goes there. He sees that Lord Shiva is in deep meditation, being a bit scared. Still, he shoot his arrow. This arrow is off sugarcane juice with the flowers, and as soon as this arrow goes and hits Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva opens his eyes and he becomes angry, so angry that he was furious. He was looking everywhere from where, which side this arrow has come. He's running one side, other side, and then he sees there is Kamadev, and he becomes so angry. He opens his third eye. As soon as he opens the third eye, Kamadev turns into ashes. He got the punishment. So this is his anger. Just because of his anger, he could do so much. Then after seeing that, after hearing this, that about Kamadev, his wife Rati becomes very upset, and she approaches Lord Shiva that, oh my dear Lord, it was not his desire to create trouble for you in your tapasya. It was required so that we can get rid of this demon. So please bring my husband back. So she prays, and you know, Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He pleases very easily. So he says that I cannot bring him back, but I can give a benediction that this that Kamadev will become, will take birth of Krishna's son, Lord's son himself. That is such a great benediction. And he says that, and you will get chance to accompany him in that lifetime. So this gives little bit ease to Rati, and then she leaves. And what happens in later stage, that after when Lord Krishna appeared on earth after killing all the demons, when Lord decided to go and stay in Dwarka, he was staying in Dwarka, and then he got married to Rukmani. The Lord was staying was in Dwarka. That time there was a demon called Shambhara. He was creating trouble again, and that time he got a curse from a personality that he will be killed only by the son of Lord Krishna and his wife Rukmani. So Shambhara was as he knew that how he will be killed, he was always trying to kill the son. He was always waiting to hear that when the Lord will be blessed with son, and how when Rukmani will be blessed with son by Lord Krishna. And then he was always keeping eye on it. And when Lord was in Dwarka, that time Rukmini gave birth to a beautiful son. His name was Pradyumna. So when Pradyumna born, he was so beautiful. His eyes were as beautiful. I mean, since he was son of Lord Krishna, so when like father, like son,
mm-hmm.
he was equally beautiful as Krishna. And everybody in Dwarka was so happy that their Lord is has now has been blessed with son. Lord cannot be blessed, but
mm-hmm.
they understand that they have another personality. So they were very happy. And before he was 10 days, this Shambhara took the rupe of a beautiful woman, and he comes to the maternity ward of Rukmini, and he kidnaps the this baby baby Pradyumna. He takes Pradyumna and takes away from Rukmini, and he threw the son in the sea. When he threw the son in the sea, there are millions and trillions of fishes in the sea, and one of the giant fish, big fish, she eats eats baby Pradyumna. Since he was a baby, he just goes and stays in the stomach of this fish for some time. And after some few days, there was a fisherman who comes to the sea and catches fishes. He catches this big fish. And see, there are so many fishes, but he is catching this one, only one fish, who is carrying Pradyumna inside itself. So this is all Krishna's Leela. Whatever happens, it happens with the with the plan of Krishna. So this fish he catches and he takes to the palace of Shambhara. In the olden days also, there were non-vegetarians, and it was always said that it is only the Rakshasas who used to eat meat and non-meat. So since he was Rakshas, he was eating fish, and this fisherman takes this fish to King Shambhara, the demon. Shambhara was very happy to see that fish and asked his cook to prepare that for the meal. When his cook was preparing the meal, as soon as he cuts the fish, he sees a baby inside the fish. He was surprised how a fish can be how a human baby is inside the fish. And he takes this, as soon as he sees this fish, there was an assistant in his kitchen. Her name was Mayavati. So, you know, it is always said that a lady has always mother Leela. So he thought that she is the right person who can take care of this baby. So he gives this baby to Mayavati. So when Mayavati takes this baby, immediately Narad Muni appears. And Narad Muni says that, "Oh my dear Mayavati, you know who is this baby?" So she says that, "I don't know." Then Narad Muni says that, "In your last birth, you were wife of Kamdev, Rati." And then he tells the whole story, and then he says that he is the same Kamdev. So she was surprised that, "Oh, he's a baby and I am grown up. So how is it possible to, you know, get married? So I cannot do this." So he says that it is all Krishna's Leela. You will see over the period, soon you will see the changes. So what happens that in a very short period of time, this baby grew up in an adult, and he becomes a very handsome man, and he has similar beauty as Krishna, since he is son of Krishna. So she becomes very happy, and when he grew up, he could feel that there is change in the expression of Mayavati. So once he approaches her, he says that, "You are like my mother. You took care of me as mother. Why I can feel something different?" So she says that, "See, what happens with us in past?" And she again tells the story to Pradyumna, Then Pradyumna understands, and then they decided that now, since you are saved, there is a cause of there is a plan from Krishna that what you have to do. You have to kill king demon Shambhara. So let's work towards it. So Mayavati, she was expert. She has all the knowledge of the military science. So she teaches all the military science to Pradyumna, and over the period of time he learns everything. She becomes, we know every time that husbands are guru, but here this wife is the guru of her husband. And then she learns, he learns from Mayavati, and now the question is how he should kill demon Shambhara. So they plan that he calls demon Shambhara, and he tries to insult him. And this is the quality of the demons, that they cannot bear their insults. They always get furious. So as soon as this demon get furious, he says that he comes in the battlefield, and they started fighting. When they started fighting, then he realizes that he is not an ordinary personality. He has so much power. Definitely, he is son of Krishna. Then he realizes his mistake, and we all know that once the curse has been given, so he has been killed by Pradyumna. So when they kill, the Pradyumna is killed, then Mayavati says that now you have done your duty. Let's go to Dwarka. You know, since you were disappeared, your mother Rukmani is crying for you, and she is very, very upset. So let's go and see go to Dwarka. So when he reaches Dwarka, all the Dwarka Vasis, they were amazed to see this personality, because they said that for them, Krishna is everything, and he is the most beautiful personality. But when Pradyumna is arriving Dwarka, they all were amazed to see the beauty of Pradyumna as well. They say that who is this, who is similar to Krishna, who is little bit similar to Krishna, even though he has some, there was some, Krishna has more beauty, but he also had some part of beauty from Krishna. So they all were amazed. Everybody started talking about Pradyumna. Then Rukmini Mata hears about the personality, that somebody has come to Dwarka and he is very beautiful. So she also had desire to see him. When she goes and see him, something different happened to her. She felt, she felt very motherly love towards him. And then everybody comes there. Then Devaki Mata and Vasudev comes, and so she thinks that who is this personality? And that time her breast started leaking with the milk, filled with the milk. So then she realizes that he cannot be some ordinary person. He is my son, my dear son. Then everybody accepts him as Pradyumna, and they all treated him as the Prince Pradyumna. This is the pastime of Lord, where we see that with the love, and how Nar Narayan Rishi, where we can see the comparison between Lord Shiva and Nar Narayan Rishi. So when they both were in the same scenario. They both were attacked by the Cupid, by Kamadev, and their approach were different. Their way of reciprocation was different. Even though everything, whatever happened with Lord Shiva is plan of Lord himself, but what happens that Lord Shiva is the representative of Tamoguna. So whatever he is doing to serve Lord himself. So he did everything in that. But we have to understand from this pastime of Lord Shiva that with the anger, what he did, that just because of his anger, he destroyed the other person. as in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that kama esha krodh esha, that the anger is the biggest enemy. Lust and anger are the biggest enemy of a person, of a human being. So when we see that how this anger comes to us, so first comes the lust. When we see, when we have lust, lust is not only the physical desires. The sexual desires. Lust means the desire to achieve anything. It can be material achievements as well, material attachments as well. So when we see that lust is not fulfilled, then what comes? Then comes the wrath, anger, extreme anger comes. And then what? And then anger brings the offense. When we are angry, automatically offense comes. And then when we are committing offense, we fall down. That is the process, and it has been repeated by all the Vaishnavas again and again. But we fallen souls don't understand this concept. We have to learn this by reading scriptures again and again. We all know that controlling anger is not easy. For me also, it is not very easy. I get angry very, very quickly. That's why I was saying that I'm not the right person to speak on this shloka. So in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Trividham Narakas Devam Dvaram Nashnan Matmanam Kama Krodhasta Lobhasta Smate Detatya Tajetya. So there are three gates which leads us to the gates of hell. These three gates are lust, anger, and greed. So we know, now we know the three gates, and you know, when we know that what are the when we are, we want to go somewhere, we have GPS in our hand. So we, if we want to reach the destination, we follow what GPS is telling us. We will not go to the wrong direction. If GPS is telling us to go to right, we will not go to the left side, because we want to reach to the right direction. So same way, now we know Krishna has given us instruction in Bhagavad Gita that you know there are three gates. So don't enter in these three gates. And the sober person, sane person, always keep themselves away from these three gates. They don't enter in these three gates. But I think we don't have that faith or that commitment or that understand, that full faith in Bhagavad Gita. That's why we commit these, we are doing this offenses again and again. We are too much attracted towards lust. We always want to get attached to material things, and we have desire to acquire that thing. Then this leads to the anger, and then if we are not getting it, we become frustrated. So the whole cycle, it falls in, because of what we falls in material world, is as follows: that first we get attracted to the object of the senses, which give pleasure to the senses and the senses. So we get attracted towards it. And then from that attraction comes the attachment, that is called lust. So we want to get, we want to be very happy, get all the we want all the pleasure from that attachment. And then we want to enjoy that. Whenever we are enjoying, we become so attached to it, so attached that we don't think anything else. We just want to enjoy that. But when we see that the attachment is not fulfilled, then this brings the frustration, and that frustration brings the anger, the wrath. So now this, the nature of this soul is to be attached to something. What is that something? We don't understand that something. That's why we get entangled in the material attachments. The nature of the soul is to get attached to supreme only. That is the only object that is the only thing we should be attached. Rather than that, we are getting attached to other objects in the material world, what pleasure we are getting from those objects in material world are very temporary, whereas the soul should be attached to the permanent pleasure, that is the pastimes of Supreme and Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when this temporary happiness is over, again there is another attachment come. And when we are not getting that attachment fulfilled, then becomes the then comes the anger, wrath. It is very critical sometimes to understand, because when anger comes, we forget everything. We don't remember that, oh, this anger is coming because I'm too attached. I have too much expectations we get angry with our family members also. Why? Because we have attachment with them, and we have expectations with them, that why he or she is not doing as per my desire. This is your attachment towards the family member, and your expectations. That is your lust. So when we are angry, we forget everything. And when Srila Prabhupada says that you are angry, you get many physical symptoms also. Your eyes become red, your chest becomes very hot and heavy. You see the ears are also becoming red. And you start breathing very fast. And you forget everything. You lose your intelligence. You don't know what you are saying. You keep on screaming. You keep on shouting. So that is the anger, where you don't know what you are doing. And when you calm down, after that you realize that you have lost so many things. Explains and Radhanath Maharaj explains very well that what is anger? Anger is nothing else but holding coal in your hand, burning coal in your hand. That means you are burning yourself, not others. When we are angry, we think that when you will throw up anger, you are insulting that person and you will be okay. No, this is your biggest mistake. When you are angry, you are hurting yourself. You are giving a harm to your body and your mind and your consciousness. You are being away from Supreme, and you are being away from the from what you have to achieve in your life. And Kapil Dev, he says that that the real attachment should be with the sadhus. Once you are attached to real sadhus, they will connect you to Supreme, because they don't have anything in their life. They don't have any expectation. They don't have any lust. They don't have any anger. They don't have any greed. They have attachment to only one thing, and that is Krishnam, Harinam. That's why you should be always follow the instructions of Kapil Dev and try to be attached more to sadhus. Take more association of devotees. Whereas in this material world, if you are getting attracted with so many material things, you will end up with wrath. Nothing else. I can remember so many things where I used to get angry a lot just because I had expectation or desire to achieve something. But with the association of devotees and blessings of Guru Maharaj, I don't know. Srila Prabhu can tell you better, but it is slowly coming down. And I thanks to Guru Maharaj for that. Just because of his blessing, it could be possible. And as Kapil Dev said, that you should get more and more and more association of all the sadhus. And generally we think that what happened if I get a little bit angry? If we keep on doing this, that will become our habit. And when somebody is angry, they are not different than animal. It is very harsh to hear that when you are angry, you are equivalent to animal. But it is the truth. It is mentioned in scriptures also. So when we are reading scriptures, we should not be ashamed to hear the truth as well. So we have to be understand that when you are angry, you are behaving like intoxicated people. You lose your consciousness. So we have examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, Jagai and Madhai. They were intoxicated. They were just, they were insulting, they insulted Nityananda Prabhu, and then they were misbehaving with him. They hurt him. The same thing happened with us when we are in anger. We are also become intoxicated with, we lose our intelligence and we forget that for what we have, you know, we forget everything. So just keep remember always that we have to develop attachment to we have to develop attachment to eternal thing, not to the temporary things. Sometimes we say that it happens several times in between husband and wife. So wife says that if I'll not expect from my husband, then to whom I should expect? So then wives are angry, and similar thing happens to husband. So we have to understand that if you have true love towards Krishna, then automatically things will happen correctly in your married life. Then automatically husband will be serving you, serving his wife, and wife is serving to husband, keeping in mind that the my spouse is also part and parcel of Krishna. They will not get angry then. They will serve each other with submissive behavior. So we have to keep us teaching every day, give this message to our mind every day that we are all living entities, are part and parcel of Krishna. So we should not give our anger to even the small part of Krishna. If you are giving anger to your family members, you are getting angry towards Krishna also. As a mother, I get very angry with my kids also. That is job of a mother. I don't know. I will take guidance from my senior devotees how I can handle that. But again, Mother Yashoda also used to get angry sometimes to teach lesson to his beloved Krishna. Sometimes that is allowed, I think, to teach them right things. So let's focus on and meditate with that bhava, that now keep always remembering Krishna. So one time somebody asked Radhanath Maharaj that when we are angry, we are screaming, we are shouting. So is it the right way? Or it is said scientifically, if you speak loudly, you will throw out your whole anger and you will be health-wise, you will be okay. So somebody was asking Radhanath Maharaj that is it okay to scream when you are angry? So Radhanath Maharaj says very simple, in a simple way, that okay, you can scream, but you can scream only one thing. You can scream Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when you are screaming this word, then your anger will be, you will get rid of your anger. So this is the impact of association of sadhus. So when you are getting associated with sadhus, automatically, over the period of time, you will get rid of anger. Now, when we go back to our scriptures, we see that there was pastimes of Vishwamitra when he was get distracted because of Menaka's bangle when he was in deep meditation. You know, he was a very dedicated king, but he left his kingdom and he wanted to meditate, and he wanted to know who is Supreme. He wanted to get closer to Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then he got attracted towards Menaka, and he lost, he got married with Menaka, and he started living his life. Then he again realized that, no, I am doing something wrong, and this is not the aim of my life. He goes back. And he started meditating again to Lord Krishna, to Supreme Personality. Then Indra again sends another apsara to distract him. Because Indra is always, he is full of fear that if somebody is meditating, they just want to take his position. Because he did so many tapasyas, then only he got this position. So when Vishwamitra Muni is again meditating, that time he sends Rambha, and when Rambha comes, that time he becomes angry. So He becomes angry and he curses Ramha that she will become like a rock, you know, stone. So this shows that even after meditating for so many years, Vishwamitra Muni couldn't control his lust and anger. One time he got distracted because of his lust, and the other time he lost his temper because of anger. So here Srila Prabhupada is trying to explain with this example that too much attachment and too much aversion, both are not good in our life. Like they both are, you know, we have seen this taraju, what do you call it, the
scale.
Measuring scale in India, which has two sides. So it is like that, attachment and aversion, these are the two sides in our life. So when you're too attached to material things, you will be always away from from your aim. You will be always thinking about that attachment, that love towards that attachment. And if you are trying to be away, that is aversion. You are trying to be away with, artificially you are trying to be away with something. It creates again problem in your life. So what happens that many times we have seen that we, when we want to follow bhakti, we try to be away from many material things also. See, we try to tell our kids that, okay, now you should not see TV, you should not follow other social media. But what happens that when we are trying to be show that very strictly, we try to follow that, our kids do that by hook or crook. They will not tell you. They will hide their iPads and laptops, and they will do it because they cannot handle this aversion part. They cannot. So we have to learn that how you can balance both things, how you can balance your attachment or how you can balance your aversion as well. So Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar of Instructions that use your attachment for Krishna, and then automatically this attachment will detach you from Maya. How you can use this attachment to Krishna? We have very good example of Srila Prabhupada. That when Srila Prabhupada was going to America, that time sannyasi is going to Western world, means they will definitely fall down. They will not be able to follow their standards, because Western world is full of Maya. It is now, India is also, but that time everybody had that mentality. But what Srila Prabhupada did? Srila Prabhupada didn't, kept himself in that shell that I don't want to leave India, I don't want to get attached to Maya. He followed the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. He had that blessing from his Guru Maharaj that he left India just to spread Lord's name. He had that attachment towards Lord. And he was, when he reached America, he was he had that feeling that whatever he is doing just to serve his Guru Maharaj. He is following his instructions and he is serving Lord Krishna. So just few minutes back, I was listening to Guru Maharaj where he was telling that when Guru Maharaj was when he was preaching and when he was with devotees, Srila Prabhupada used to use the same bathroom which other devotees are using. And that time these devotees didn't have that understanding that after me, Srila Prabhupada is using the toilet, so I should clean it and come out because there is only one toilet. So that is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He never felt offended also that, oh, I am such a senior person, I am a devotee and I'm using the same toilet which these people are using, and they didn't clean the toilet. So Srila Prabhupada has that mood, and he was always using his attachment and aversion. He was not too much finicky about many things, which we could see from other sampradayas people are following. He has given us all the he understood the mentality of people of in not mentality the limitation of the people who came in this Kali Yuga. So he gave us too much freedom, but he at the same time he gave us the proper knowledge also, and he gave us the path on which if we walk, if we follow him, we will achieve the top, the highest abode. So that way we also have to learn from our senior devotees and our acharyas that how we should balance our life. Now people, the devotees who are to who are fully surrendered unto Krishna, Maya can never distract them. Even as we know that there are many examples where Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj and many more who were not distracted by anything. When Dhruv Maharaj was meditating, Narad Muni says him that, okay, now you are so young, how you will, you are going to meditate, you should go back. That time Dhruv Maharaj has determination that I want to reach, I want to achieve a supreme, I want to know who is Lord, I want to reach, I want to see him. So that determination is there. We should be that much determined, and nothing can distract you. Maya can never distract you. Once you are surrendered, you will be there. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that manmana bhav mad bhakto madhyachi mam namaskuru mam eva yasyasi satyamte parijayane prayasi. So if we keep ourselves sincerely fixed in Krishna's service, and if we surrender ourselves to Krishna, then Maya can never distract us. Then Maya will, even if Maya, it's easy to say, but we have to learn that, we have to learn the surrenderness, that how if we surrender, then if the Cupid will also come, or other, any other demigods will come, they will not distract. So Kamdev is saying to Narayan Rishi that, you know, whoever is your pure devotee, I cannot trouble them, I cannot distract them. And we have seen many sannyasis who are, you know, staying in this material world. They also come across many material distractions, but still they are meditating. They are into the, you know, they are praying to Krishna. They are fully surrendered unto Krishna. Now, several times, Srila Prabhupada has given us instruction, and he is warning us that Maya is very strong. You hear his lectures, and you he is explaining you again and again that Maya is very strong, and how you can keep yourself away from Maya only by following his instructions, by reading his books, by getting association from devotees. When you are in when you are sitting with devotees, you are not talking about material things, you are not talking what is happening in India or what is happening in America. Then you talk about the pastimes of Lord, what we are doing here. When you are sitting with devotees, you are doing either kirtan, you are doing japa, you are chanting Lord's name. That is the you know, true way of your surrender. So Srila Prabhupada explains that how you can keep yourself away from Maya, that always try to be chant your round sincerely. If you are chanting your round sincerely, you are always you know, you are always saying to Krishna that, or when you are saying Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, 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 Ram Hare Hare. You are saying Hey Radhe, Hey Krishna, give me seva. So I always remember these words from Guru Maharaj when once we visited Vrindavan. He said that when you are chanting your japa, your mood should always be this, that give me service, give me service, give me service. If you are asking for service, Lord will be very happy with your serving attitude, and he will definitely bless you with the services. It can, the service is not limited to only kirtan. It can be anything. It can be service to cook for Krishna and devotees. It can be to clean Krishna's temple. It can be preach. It can be distribute books. It can be teach to your family only. Sit with your family only. Sing with them. That is also biggest seva. So that serving attitude should be there. And when you are with devotees, your mood should be very humble. Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he had very humble mood. He always had that mood that I am equivalent to the stool of a pig. No, that humble mood he had. So he was always ready to serve devotees. We should also develop that mood. Then we should always offer sweet words to devotees. We should always try to serve them very nicely. We should never speak harshly to devotees. If we are speaking nicely to devotees, Krishna is always happy. And if we are misbehaving or being harsh with devotees, Krishna never likes it. He dislikes, because Krishna always loves his devotees. So if we are getting angry with devotees or misbehaving with devotees, that is the sign of Maya, that we are getting caught by Maya. So when you are seeing that now, you have to analyze yourself. You know, you do, when you are working, you see that you have to submit a report, seeing what performance you have done. You write you mention your performances in your report. So prepare a report for yourself, for spiritual life as well, and see that what you have committed mistakes in your life. You should not, how you can keep yourself away from Maya. Then prepare your report for yourself and work on it. And follow, just when you think that now you have committed mistakes, how you can come out, just remember Srila Prabhupada and follow his instructions. Read more and more books, do regular japas. We all are doing japa, but it is very mechanical japa. We do japa just to finish up a round. That is the biggest mistake we do. We have to sit, chant sincerely, do your japa first thing in the morning. I know it's easy to say, difficult to follow, but we have to learn. And definitely when we all are together holding each other's hand, we can achieve that one day, definitely. So we have to have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words, our Guru Maharaj's words, and follow that instructions. So I'll conclude here. Hare Krishna. Any comments, any mistakes, please forgive me for the mistakes. And as I was saying, I just want to say one thing, that we should be always humble with devotees. We should say always nicely to devotees. And I ask for the forgiveness if me or Sri Vrishbhumi has committed any mistakes with any devotees, then only we can follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, very nice class. Even when I was listening to the link which Prabhu had sent in the morning, even he, Guruji was telling that you have to be very humble. And the other day I was listening to, I think, Gaurgopalda or Amoglila Prabhu, he was also telling, like, you know, we have to be a servant, like, we have to have the servant service attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Then only we can think of becoming devotees.
Yes.
And that, you know, that is going to light the, you know, the happiness inside also. You know, then only we can feel connected to God. Because that service attitude, as you do, you know, that is the one that makes you close to Krishna. And with the service only, you can probably elevate yourself to a devotee status, which is not easy to attain. So, very nice class. And hope we are able to be humble and, you know, able to control our anger as such. But I think it's just with association and learning from devotees like you that we can, you know, progress in this path. And one more thing I'd like to share. Interesting example. Srila Prabhupada had mentioned once his disciple, it seems he was going and in the airport. And he couldn't help but just, you know, stare at one air hostess.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada saw him, and devotee realized that he was seen.
Mm.
And Prabhupada, he was known for his, you know, very, very nice comments and how he motivates the devotees. He says, just imagine, you know, you're so enticed by the air hostess, who is a creation of God. So how beautiful the God must be.
Yes.
You know, that is such a beautiful way of, motivating people and still correcting them. So, thank you so much, Madhuji,
No,
for
thank
wonderful
you so
lecture,
much.
and I hope we are able to be, learn something from you.
You bless me, Mataji,
Thank
that I can follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. And as I said, that we all have to walk holding each other's hand to reach the supreme, to reach our destination. So let's keep on meditating on Krishna, on Lord Krishna with the same this thought. And very nice realization, Yukti Mataji. Thanks for sharing.
I have a question.
Well, thank you.
Yes, Prabhuji. Mahaprasad Prabhuji, please guide me if yes, Lalit Prabhuji.
Thanks, Mataji. Really, very excellent and very nectarian class. We learn very useful things about, how to manage the anger and how to basically be away from Maya, which is basically the source of all the problems in our life. But I was just thinking while you were giving the lecture, I think there is no doubt that the motive and the target of our life is to get rid of, we call it kama krodha lobha moha, lust, anger, greed, and attachments. That is what all are working for. But sometimes I think that, where from this growth gunas comes on us? It basically comes from the God form. If you see, in Bhagavad Gita, we have said that Bhagavan Krishna's three guna avatar is Sato guna, Rajo guna, and Tamo.
Tamoguna, yes.
And Shivaji, Lord Shiva represents the Tamo
Yeah.
guna. Of this.
Yeah.
And Lord Shiva gets agitated, gets angered, start doing tandavas. So the guna of growth is basically originating from him, which is coming in all of us.
Yes.
If you've seen in India, the movies which have angry young men becomes more famous. The anger has like become a hero in our society. So if you are an angry man, you are most wanted or most looked after personality. So I think somewhere we need to classify the anger. As you also said that you sometimes gets angry on your kids as a mother. So I think this sort of anger is sometimes desired anger, because here you are using anger in getting your kids corrected and asking them to choose the right path in your life. So what I basically think is, yes, of course, anger really hurts you bodily, because I feel it. When I was young, I was getting angry. My body was supporting that, and I'm not feeling any problem there. But now, if I get angry, my blood pressure start increasing, body gets hot, as you said. So that is basically giving all sorts of problem in our body. But here again, we have to sometimes use this tool, to get people corrected. Like sometimes in the offices, sometimes in our daily life, we even without desiring, we are compelled to be angry on something getting corrected, which you think is not going right. So the little bit of classification, good anger or bad anger, I don't know where it is, but I feel that this also, should be there.
Okay.
That's all of my realizations. Thanks very much for a really nice class. Really
Yeah.
nice class. Thank you.
Thanks, Prabhu, for sharing this. But I just want to add that, anger are definitely good anger and bad anger. So, what is good anger? Good anger is if you are getting angry for the service of Krishna, it is okay. Like Hanuman, when he was angry and he burned whole Lanka for the service of Lord Ram, that was good anger. Yeah, but when you are getting angry for silly things, for temporary things, it is not good. Say, when you are getting angry because a glass vase is broken, So think about it. If you are getting angry, will it become as it is it was? Will it become unbroken? No. It will broke. It is done. It is finished now. That was temporary thing. So why to get angry for those things? Yeah. And when we are getting angry for our kids, we want them to get better future. Right?
Yes.
And we are getting angry when they are not doing japa. We are getting angry when they are not doing their sadhana. So that is also wrong anger, but we have to be, you know, angry with them to give them right knowledge, right way of upbringing. But if you're getting angry for silly things, that okay, now why didn't you compete with your friend properly? Why didn't you you're just getting angry with him, you're with your child, that why didn't he compete with the society? We see many parents are bringing anxiety and anger with their children just so that their children can become first in the rat race, you know,
rat race.
Yes.
So that is wrong anger.
Yes.
So when Srila Prabhupada sometimes chastised his his disciples because they were not following the instructions. So that was okay because he wanted his disciple to follow the instructions properly and learn things in right manner so that they can give this to next generation properly. That was his right anger. Even though he was very tolerant, he hardly got angry with his disciples. He hardly got angry. But when gurus are getting angry with disciples, they want their disciples to follow the instructions properly. Now when you're talking about Lord Shiva, he, as you said rightly, that he is the tamoguna personified. He is representing tamoguna and he is servant of, he thinks himself as servant of Lord. So whenever he is getting angry, it is mentioned that this material world will be distracted with his anger only. So this is by Lord's desire only. So when he is getting angry, it is because of he wanted to always want to serve Lord. He doesn't have desire to acquire anything and to get. He is not getting angry for himself that he wants something and that's why he is getting angry. You see, wherever he is, his anger is appeared, it is just he wanted to serve Krishna. Here also, when he is meditating, so. He is just thinking about Krishna. He is not thinking any material. He doesn't have any material attachment. So because of that, attachment with Lord and somebody is disturbing him, he is getting angry. So that is the reason we also try to understand that we should develop attachment for eternal things, not for temporary things. So when we understand this concept, then definitely we will come out of anger. And I think you just listen more from Acharyas, then definitely you will not. So, Anandanand Prabhu, you want to add something for this?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. One thing is that Lord Shiva is not Tamoguna personified. He is in charge of
them. Okay.
He is Vaishnava, Param Vaishnava. So, anyway, very nice class actually. You were saying that, told me before also that you are not the right person to take this class. But I think you did full justification with that class. I was very much enlightened with all the stories, real stories, as you said, and the underlying principles you explained so nicely. So, that was a good and very good enlightenment for us.
Thank you.
And you compared Lord Shiva and Lord himself, that Lord does not get angry and Lord Shiva gets angry. If it is disturbed, it is goal, he gets angry. And Lord Vishnu, he has nothing to achieve actually. He's already complete, everything is always complete for him. So no hurdle, no disturbance to him actually. So he's always perfect, always Purna. So no question of lust and anger in him. And you very rightly said that we as devotees, that we should be more attached to Krishna than to Maya. And that attachment will bring a better management or end to this lusty and angry mentality. Because lust and anger, they are twins. They are not separable. They are twins. You cannot separate them. So wherever the lust is origin of wrath, as Prabhupada said, that in the purport also he said that lust is the origin of wrath. If there is no wrath, there is no lust. It's very nicely said that. So whenever we are getting angry, we actually get angry, good anger, bad anger, we don't justify, we don't go inside that honestly speaking. We get angry simply. We are just carried away by anger. Means we don't think that whether this is good anger or bad anger, we just carried away by anger.
Yes.
So, and whenever we have to think that whether we should be angry or not, we should the impact, effect of anger. So if I got angry with my kid or someone else, what effect does it bring? Does it bring that change I needed, I wanted? No. If that change is not happening, then there is no point in getting angry. If I am getting angry to improve my kid, but my kid is making more notorious, he just started fighting with me more after getting angry, then there is no, the anger is not the right way to manage you actually. We cannot get angry with society to change society. Society will not change. So Prabhupada has said very clearly, keep yourself cool, keep yourself as the air conditioner, and whoever comes near to you, he gets the cooling effect from you. So, I mean, as devotees, I think at the stage which I am, or means we have no right to be angry as such. We can be. Our mission is to change heart. Our mission is to change heart. We cannot change heart by getting angry with someone. That's the very minimum chances that we can change someone by getting angry. The only thing we can make a change to others is through love and through preaching and through our own example practicing. So, but if we get angry and ask others not to get angry, then that will not work. So even under the most difficult situations, if you are trying to maintain our cool, if you are trying to maintain our anger, that will be taken as an example. That will be observed by people. People observe us. So we are these parts and parcels of Krishna sitting here and there. So we will be presenting ourselves as an example to the society, so that we are not carried away by anger. It's very difficult. Because whenever I want something like this, if it does not happen, I get angry. I want praise, but if someone insults me, I get angry. We get angry by insult, because we want praise, we don't want insult. So when someone gives us insult, we get angry. So this way, I mean, we should always remember the third shloka of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Trinadapi Suni Chena Tarodapi Sarisuna Amani Nam. Sorry, what's that? Trinadapi Suni Chena Tarodapi Sarisuna Amani Namanidina Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is the psychology, this is the mentality of a Vaishnava actually. That what Prabhupada Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in three shlokas. And big acharya like Prabhupada, they can get angry. I have heard some Maharajas also, they, under some circumstances, they show their anger. That's fine. That's good. I mean, that way they can. Their impact is positive. If they get angry, their impact is positive. But I'm not sure if I get angry, my impact will be positive or not. If I don't. So that becomes a big risk, no, actually. So let us, in my opinion, we should be humble. Try to be. It's very difficult to be humble, but we should try to be humble as much as we can. And whatever underlying principles which you explained, I think we should stick to that. We should try to get attached to Krishna more. That attachment will naturally bring down all our angers. I just give one example of very comes to my mind that say there is a bucket of water and there is one bucket of petrol. So if you throw a lighted matchstick in petrol, it will catch a fire. But if you throw the same lighted, matchstick in that water, that matchstick will get extinguished. It will not create fire in the water, but it will get extinguished. So we have to be like that. Where there is so much petrol in our mind, in our heart, that it gets agitated every now and then. So we have to be like, and the more devotional service we do to Krishna, that petrol gets converted to Ganga then. And we don't get agitated. Same as what's his name, our revered Acharya Haridas Thakur. They were all reason that Kamdev threw the last arrow to Lord Shiva, but same Kam was present in front of Haridas Thakur, like that beautiful lady. and she tried to entice Haridashtakuru. He was not enticed, and he, neither he got lusty nor he got angry. And then after 3-4 days, she got converted to a Vaishnava. So that's very important that we should follow the Vaishnava's attitude, Vaishnava's quality in this way. To get rid of this anger. This anger is a sickness actually. This anger is a sickness, nothing else. It is just a sickness. This anger does not exist in the spiritual world. There is no lust, there is no anger in the spiritual world. Father, very nice class, honestly speaking.
Thank you so much.
After hearing you, whatever came to my mind, was coming to my mind, I just expressed that. But you give me full justification with your class, full justification.
It's all Guru Maharaj's blessing. I think in the morning we started listening to Guru Maharaj, so it is only his blessings. Yes, Mahaprasad Prabhu, I'm waiting to hear from you. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Vaishnavas.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Indeed.
Hare Krishna. First of all, sorry for the intermittent access. I don't know, somehow or other, network has not been favoring me this morning.
But I hope you could hear later.
The majority of your lecture, sorry?
Yeah, you could hear it later.
No, no, I actually heard the majority of it. Probably I missed about 5-10%.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read the translation and the purport, yes, like Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu mentioned, I felt, oh my God, this is quite a challenging topic to discuss. But you pulled it through really, really well. I don't know if you realize, you've made a lot of points, a lot of good points, limitless, it just went on. So it's good to have done good research and benefit all the devotees in that way. And it's also wonderful for us as well, when we give a class, by reading, trying to understand what Prabhupada is saying, we gain a lot more states in our mind, and then we start behaving accordingly. So I think you've done quite a bit of research. I could see that, and you've relayed it so nicely. And I like the way you explained how anger is one of our main, the biggest enemy that we have, because it's so ultimate. We lose control, right?
Yes.
At least with lust, you know, sometimes when people have a very strong desire, it may not show, but they, you know, they keep working on it until they achieve. But with anger, it's vivid. When it is anger, you know, we lose physically, we lose control, mentally we lose control, our voice, like the symptoms that you mentioned. And, you know, you mentioned how the lust is primarily there because we have a strong desire to lord it over the material world. It's not always connected to a sexual sense, but any strong desire we have to achieve material things is leveled as lust. And when that desire is not fulfilled, we get angry. Anger is always born when frustration is there. Now, I want to achieve this, but this one is hindering me. This is a reason why I'm not progressing to achieve this. Because of that, frustration comes and we become angry. And I know Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu mentioned that the lust, anger, do not exist in the spiritual world. I just wanted to say that that's in a material sense, yes, they don't exist, but they actually, in their purest form, they do exist. Where does Krishna's anger comes from? Because it is very pure, it's transcendental. Krishna has manifested all the Shingadev, he used his anger, but that anger is different from the kind of anger we see in the material world. It's in Shuddha Sattva, in its purest form. It doesn't have a tinge of tamagun, rajagun, sattvagun. Yeah. So those are the material things affecting us, manifesting that anger. And I think in connection to Lalit's question, you also answered it really well, and how anger is used in a proper way, using the example of someone used his anger in a transcendental, in its purest way, to serve Lord Ram. And yes, anger, so long as it's not controlled, uncontrolled, and so long as it's not materially motivated, that same anger can be used to help others. I want to give you an example. When I was in primary school, there was this teacher in our classroom. For some reason, he was angry. And I'm sure the anger is not caused by the children. He must have had some frustration before, the day before or in the morning or whatever. All of a sudden, he lost his anger. He picked up his stick. He wanted everyone to line up. He wanted to punish everyone with a broom. Everybody was the girls, the boys, everybody was crying. Nobody could leave the room. You say nobody's leaving the room until you get punished. He punished everyone severely. And the next day morning, I remember when I came to the school, every single child came with their parents, and their children had bruised finger, broken arm, or whatever, because he was so angry and so violent. So what happened? He got fired immediately. Yeah. So that same anger could have been controlled in a way that he shows his anger by raising his voice or whatever to correct them, so that they are aligned, so that they are not talking and they are focusing in their teaching or whatever. So sometimes when anger is totally uncontrolled, like you mentioned, it actually affects us. I like the way you were saying that Radhanath Swami mentioned how when we are angry, we're actually hurting ourselves. It's a wonderful point. We're hurting, we think we're hurting others, but at the end of the day, we're hurting ourselves. This man was punishing the children in an uncontrollable way. He lost his job within 24 hours. Yeah. So he's hurting himself, yeah, at the end of the day. So a lot of good points mentioned, and I know Prabhupada mentioned as well, Prabhupada, you know, used to get angry at times. But what is that anger? That anger is purely controlled and also pure and transcendental. With anger, we have to see the cause and effect. What is the cause? What is the reason why we're angry? Is it to achieve material things? Or is it ultimately to serve Guru Krishna and to satisfy, you know, the Goswamis and all the Vaishnavas? That's the cause. And the effect, when we are angry, how is the effect manifesting? Are we totally uncontrolled, abusing people, abusing children, or whatever? Or is it very controlled anger to correct people, to bring people back to order, to bring children back to order? Yeah, those cause and effect need to be analyzed. So otherwise, anger is always used, even in the spiritual world, in their purest form. But sometimes even the demigods show that anger in the wrong way, like Lord Indra. He was so angry with the inhabitants of Vrindavan, right? Because of that, he started pouring all the thunder and the rain and everything. Krishna had to lift Govardhan Hill to protect all the inhabitants. All that happened because Indra couldn't control his anger. He said, how dare you, little boy, stopping my worship? These people used to worship me for thousands of years. Now you, little boy, have come, they stop worshiping. He was so angry. He was pouring the rain, the thunder for 7 days continuously. Krishna tolerated. Sorry I say too much, but I think you mentioned a lot of good points. Mm-hmm. And I think you have the blessings of all the Vaishnavas present here, including myself. Especially your tone of voice is ideal to really cultivate and bring up your children.
Oh, I don't know. Please bless me.
To be in charge of children and really cultivate them. I can see that the children will listen for 1 hour without paying their attention elsewhere, So continue that.
Please bless me, Prabhu.
Be very happy.
No. Please
but
bless me, Prabhu.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, please bless me so that I can continue my kids' classes regularly, Prabhu. I mean, sometimes that is a challenge for me, but that is the thing I'm praying to Guru Maharaj also, that I just want to continue that seva, and I should continue get it regularized.
I think I can assure you, I feel you are definitely best suited. The way you present, the way the tone of your voice and everything is very soothing, for children to really absorb every single word what you're saying, So I think the blessings of all the Samantha Dwi audience and myself, everyone is there for you.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Just a couple of points I really wanted to hear from the purporters. One of them is that Prabhupada mentioned the Lord has neither lust nor anger. It's important to understand that although he appears to be angry, he is considered to be, that's not the kind of anger that we see in the material world, because Prabhupada used the word aptakama. Aptakama means, for someone who has everything, how can you have any kind of strong desire to have anything material? Yeah, that's only reserved for us. He has everything. So if he doesn't have a strong lust for material things, then he doesn't have wrath either. But whatever apparent wrath or anger he manifests, is that transcendental anger, actually Prabhupada mentioned in the purport, it's a benediction. We are always supposed to understand that as a benediction. Like when he was abused by Shishupal, everybody was thinking that within the first, the second, the third, when Shishupal was throwing all that abuse, people thought Krishna is going to get so angry, he's going to destroy him, he's going to kill him, whatever. He was not affected. Not 100 times he was counting, because he promised to the mother, right, that I will not do anything to your son until he surpasses 100 abuses. So you can see that Krishna is totally in control. But when the time comes, when a benediction needed to come to Shishupala, he showed his anger and he just killed him on the spot. The other point I really wanted to hear was that the devotees are more merciful than the Lord. When the Lord shows that so-called anger, sometimes the devotees become merciful. You all know the story in Mahabharata, the story about the Kandava forest and Mahadhanava. When Mahadhanava was really challenging Arjuna because they wanted to burn that forest because it was inhabited by so many demons. One of the main demons is Mahadhanava.
Can you come
here? So when Mahadhanava was challenging them, Krishna was very